time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Predictable Oscar Joke Writer.
Mr. Predictable Oscar Joke Writer.
The Academy gives an award for Best Picture, but you always take the prize for lamest joke. You know, gems like, gee, I wonder if Sean Penn in Milk does a body good.
God, Oscar is a better punchline.
I bet you can't wait to get a hold of Mickey Rourke.
You'll be sure to wrestle some laughs, yeah.
So when you hear that a movie about a guy getting younger should be called Benjamin Botox, or that Slumdog Millionaire is broke because of Bernie Madoff, give a hearty guffaw to Mr. Predictable Oscar Joke Writer, a real American hero.
Mr. Predictable Oscar Joke Writer.
Luckily, your stuff makes the five-hour broadcast whiz right by.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, February 17th, 2011. We're back here live. After sort of a sporadic week, we weren't here Monday, we were here Tuesday, we weren't here yesterday, and we're here today. And we're hoping to be here tomorrow because we're going to celebrate our one-year anniversary.
Woohoo!
Good morning,
Kara. It's like we're in a relationship, and Monday he forgot our anniversary.
Well, yeah, it was Mother's Day, so.
Mother's Day.
I mean, Valentine's Day.
Tuesday was our anniversary date.
Yeah.
I asked you literally before we went on the air. I said, when is our date?
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, and you're like, it's today. And I was like, this whole year's meant nothing to you.
Yeah.
It's like
absolutely nothing.
It means nothing to you. You forgot our date.
Well spoken like a woman.
Yeah, well, and now we're doing a makeup anniversary show.
A makeup show, yeah.
It's not going to feel the same because it's not the
same
day.
No, I see. Okay. Well, that's me.
I'm just playing.
What can you do? You know, I forget things.
Oh, yeah.
I forget things, especially after Valentine's Day, you know.
Yeah, just too much expectation.
Like, yeah.
That's
too much celebration for 1 week for me.
I mean, not that I remembered because I didn't either, but, you know, I got to slam you for something.
I suppose you do, huh?
So you had a couple days off then. How are you doing as well?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing
I walked
very
in, you're
well.
Like, well, if I had 2 days off, I would feel great too.
Exactly.
And I'm like,
you walk in here singing and everything.
Yeah, well, I do that every day. But then you know what? You did have 2 days off.
Yeah, but it's not the same. You got to rest. I got to work.
Here's what happens to me. Anytime we don't have a show, I think, oh, this is great. I get to sleep in. Mm-hmm. Then the sunlight creeps through my blinds and punches me in my eyelids. And I'm like, And I'm at 8 o'clock. I'm awake.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Or 8:30, you know. Sometimes I'll sleep later than that, but generally I can't.
Really? Even if you know you won't be, you don't have to get up in the morning?
It's like it never works out. Like the days you really want to sleep in, you have to be somewhere. And then the days you have full reign to just lounge, you're like up at 8 doing stuff, running around. And you're like, this wasn't what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, well, that's you.
Well, it's just, you know.
But you're right. I mean, you know, for me, it's like once I get up in the morning, it's hard to get back to sleep. But, yeah, I have no problem sleeping.
Yeah, you seem like a sleeper.
Yeah?
Yeah, you seem like somebody.
I have become a sleeper.
I feel like I need a nap.
Yeah.
My roommate, man, she can log in some sleeping hours. She wakes up at like 11.
Wow.
And then we'll take a nap in the afternoon too.
Really?
And then she's like, I really need a nap. I'm like, what is your deal?
Okay, well, great, because now I don't feel so bad. I thought it was just me.
I'm like, who wakes up at 11 and then gets a nap?
Yeah, well, you know, 11 is too late.
I mean, sometimes it's 10, but still, and then needs a nap.
I mean, for me, if I get up at 11, it's like half the day is over already.
And then they give me shit because I go to bed around, like, you know, I like to be in bed. I mean, I don't have to, but I tend to get tired around 11 o'clock at night.
Right, yeah.
They would say 9.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, nobody has to stay up late. You know, I've been going to sleep earlier, like 11:30, 12 now.
Really?
Midnight. Yeah. I used to go to sleep later than that.
Really?
Yeah. But now I'm tired all the time. I don't know. I'm getting old.
Yeah.
But I need some physical activity, too. You know, I don't do...
You got to do it, Sam.
Yeah.
Go do the marathon this March.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I want to do.
Just get out there
and
walk
it. Do the marathon.
I'm supposed to be doing it, guys. I got to be honest. My training is not where it should be.
It's not where... No. I mean, you got to be really training hard by
now. Well, I mean, last year I did it and I was fine, but this is more of an injury thing, like my legs. I overran too soon. I didn't build up to it. So it hurt so bad that it pissed me off. And now I'm like, screw you. I'm like mad. I could probably run right now and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I'm like mad. So anyway, that's
an
update.
So are you saying screw you too?
My knees and my shins. My shins and then I would have knots in my calves.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't started and it's in March.
Who knows? I've done some crazier shit.
I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
You know, everybody thinks you can. I've done stuff people think you can't do all the time. People are like, you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm like, yes, I can. Mm. And I do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm freaking she-woman.
Yeah.
Freaking she-ra here.
You know your stuff.
Well, it's just more of like there's a lot of people that go off of what's practical and what's the stuff that, you know, patterns say this is typically will be your results, right? Mm. And I just don't really, in some ways, I just don't live my life that way.
I see.
You know?
Okay.
I'm just not a naysayer. Even if you do crash and burn, whatever, at least you went for it. That's
yeah, but you can embarrass yourself, too.
Embarrass yourself to
who? No, I don't care about the embarrassment, but you could injure yourself, too, right?
No, that's why I've chilled out, because I did injure
myself.
Out. Yeah. But I did it last year, and I, you know, didn't have injuries. Mm. So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But you were running a lot more last year, I think.
See, you say that and you don't know, and that somebody else said that too.
No, I don't know. I just remember. I mean, what I know is based on what you tell me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't been running as much, but I'm still running.
Right.
You know, like I'm gonna go on a run today. Probably do like 4 or 5 miles.
Yeah.
But.
No,
that's
okay. So I don't. It's not at the top of my list.
Yeah,
you know,
well, you need to start logging my miles accurately if you're gonna type. No, but it's funny because another friend of mine said that too, and I'm like, where is this coming from? Because it's not accurate.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it's a mentality.
Maybe it's because you just don't talk about it like you used to, and people assume that
you're
not running.
But I also think people just really don't want to see people succeed sometimes. Not like not like in a mean way, but it's almost just a sense of why take the risk and things go bad and it doesn't work.
Mm,
I think that overshadows a lot of people. Like, just play it safe. You know what? Just
right. Just do
just,
it.
Just, you know.
Yeah, just do it, Kira.
Okay.
Don't pay attention to anyone.
Okay.
And I have all the hopes in the world that you'll be fine. You'll finish the race and you won't be injured. Okay?
Well, here's the thing.
Wishing you all the best.
I haven't paid for it either. So it might be another bootleg race.
Yeah, there you go.
Hope that's okay.
Yeah. Well, talking about contests and stuff, I've been watching the Jeopardy special with
the
computer.
That's exciting. Tell me about this Jeopardy.
No, I watch Jeopardy all the time,
but this
one was with a computer.
Okay. Oh, the computer. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Remember I told you about
that?
Yeah. Well, I can say the same thing about the shows you watch, those sorry-ass shows you watch.
Well, listen, I haven't watched
Mad Men and bullshit.
First of all,
like
Mad Men's not a sorry-ass show, but there are sorry-ass shows that I watch, a lot of trashy TV.
Yeah.
But
like The Bachelor?
No, I don't watch that shit.
You don't watch
The
Bachelor?
If I'm going to go trash, I'm going to go full-blown, like The Kardashians, or I'm going to go Real Housewives. That's pretty bottom of the barrel.
That's pretty trashy, right.
You know, not like gross, but it's just kind of like, it's just voyeurism. It's weird.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
But no, I own it, but I haven't been able to watch it because I don't have cable.
But a game show that makes you think is not your cup of tea.
No. No.
So it was amazing, though, because, I mean, these are like two of the biggest champions ever on the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of them had won 74 games straight, which is, you know, I mean, most people will win 1, 2, 3, you know, sometimes they'll win like 5. In a row, but this guy won 74. The other guy had won about $3 million on Jeopardy.
What?
Yeah. Wow. So these are like the biggest champions, right?
Uh-huh.
And they put him against an IBM computer that was designed to understand natural language, which is what we use. You know, because like the clues in Jeopardy are not that straightforward. You know, there's a lot of insinuations and innuendos and things that are not clear. You
yeah.
know? Associations and stuff like that. So So the computer fucking annihilated them. There was nothing left of them. I mean, the first day, it was a game over 2 days. The first game, one guy didn't get like more than $2,000, barely, where the computer had like $30,000.
But why are we shocked? It's a computer. Like, it's a huge database. I'm like, why are we shocked that the computer's winning?
Because there's a lot more to this computer. That's what I'm saying. You know, it has to think like a human being, not like a computer.
Yeah, like, I really trust that the computer's made to have flaws like humans. Like, is the computer have built-in flaws like humans?
Well, you know, I mean, the computer obviously didn't answer every question. It didn't know everything. And, you know, it's also a matter of speed as well. You know, you got to ring in within 5 seconds.
So what's the deal? So what did we learn from this?
So what we learned from this is that machines are really, really getting sophisticated. And you better watch out.
Me? Because then I won't win Jeopardy. Oh, shit, what'll I do? I know, I'll turn on the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Your refrigerator might, you know, turn on you one day.
That's funny. That's really, really funny.
Yeah, so... Yeah, but
do you want to do Jeopardy? Do you want to go on it?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. But you know what? I got to tell you, man, I went online the other day and took like the qualification test. I think I did horribly.
Really?
It was so fucking hard, man. Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's easy to sit on your couch and throw out answers when you're watching the game and stuff and don't keep track of it. But when you're faced with 50 questions and they give you 15 minutes and you can do it online, you know, but the questions were fucking hard, man. So I don't think I did well. I don't think I'm going to be on Jeopardy anytime soon.
Really?
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Well, what if you practice? Maybe there's still hopes of becoming a Jeopardy star.
Yeah, but you see, I mean, how do you even begin? You know, I mean, they ask you shit about like 19th century novelist. Like, how the hell would I know anything about that, you know? Or like poems and shit and Shakespeare and, you know, there's a lot of things. I mean, other categories I'm great with, but some of those... That you really have to go to school to learn.
Mm.
No.
Wow.
You can't do it. So, yeah, you have to be very well-rounded to win on that show.
Maybe they'll come up with more like a laid-back Jeopardy.
Yeah. But then it's not the same.
You know, maybe like something, you know.
Laid-back Jeopardy.
More like a casual. Isn't that guy?
I like that.
More like
they have it for teens and stuff, you know.
I bet they're still
brainiacs. But it still is hard. Yeah. Yeah, it's still hard.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's really, really funny.
So well, that's that, you know?
Don't give up too soon. Well,
no.
Maybe, you know, that's
maybe
how
I'll
I
just
look
settle
at
for Wheel of Fortune, which requires no thought whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't they have like the money stuff where you have to kind of make bids on what you think, how expensive things are? And that takes a little bit of strategy, right?
No, that's the Price is Right, isn't it?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, the Wheel of Fortune is like... you know, you fill in letters and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Where,
Vanna White, yeah.
Vanna White, yeah.
Is she still working it?
She's still there.
Shit, are you kidding?
Do you believe it?
Man, how does she look?
And she doesn't even need to be there because they don't turn the letters anymore. She just touches them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It used to be in the old days.
What a gig.
Huh?
What a gig. You show up, you wear these like over-the-top, gaudy like evening gowns, and you just prance across and just push a little button. And that's all you do all day long. I'm sure maybe there's other politics or stuff that go into it, just like any job. But
isn't that funny? Well, they tried to push her out a few years ago.
Are you serious?
Because she was getting too old, right?
Really?
And they wanted to replace her, but she fought that, and I guess they ended up keeping her.
I mean, she's the staple of the show. I think it's kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Wheel
that's true.
Of
she's
Fortune.
Yeah, wow. There used to be a lot of daytime game shows. They don't have those anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember growing
those.
Up hearing like certain game shows in the back or soap operas, and I just feel like that stuff's depressing. Like daytime TV depresses me.
Yeah, because you think that you're not working, maybe. You
it's
know?
That feeling of like, what the hell are we doing? Why are we all comfortable at 12 o'clock in the afternoon?
Exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It just sounds, it just feels depressing.
But on sick days, on days off, it was great. You know,
yeah,
you
I mean,
on
if
the
you,
couch
you can't go anywhere and you could just do tons
The Price
of...
is Right.
Yeah.
And card sharks. Yeah. I mean, I can't even remember all the games.
Well, we don't have cable right now.
Right.
So we used to like, my roommates and I would watch a lot of HBO series, which are great. And then I got my Real Housewives of Atlanta on and just some of my trashy TV. And I didn't like sit in front of the TV for a long time, but I usually watched like an hour or two a day, something like that. And I thought I was really going to miss it because we just decided we didn't want to pay for it.
Right.
And it's funny because I just noticed the other day, I don't even really realize I'm not watching TV.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I'm not either, you know. I mean, I just catch some news and some interviews here and there, and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of good shows, I believe, on TV. It's just that, you know, I don't want to invest myself in any of them, you know, because then you have to watch every week. I mean, look, even on American Idol, we're already like 4 shows behind.
You know, really?
I've been recording them.
Uh-huh.
So it's just there's no time to watch it. And when I do have some time, I don't want to watch TV. So, yeah, but there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, I believe, you know, a lot of people swear by some shows, you know.
Hey, I love TV. I love cinema. I love it all. I love, you know, who doesn't love it?
Love it all.
I love it all. Mm. We had a good throwdown last night. Because, you know, this is my weekend right here. I'm about to start working.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, had friends over. I called it Friend Day. And we, like, cleaned our apartment hardcore. Finished decorating it because we painted all the walls. Like, there's one wall that's orange. There's a bunch of walls that are yellow.
Right.
Then the kitchen's blue and green.
So, does it look good? I mean, does it look like out of a magazine or something?
Not out of a... Yeah. We say it always looks like a little candy shop.
Yeah.
It's very vibrant, and it's kind of a fun house, and like, I mean...
Yeah, like a preschool.
Basic
colors,
daycare.
You know?
No, it looks... No, it's actually very lively, but not obnoxious, you know? It's not like, in your face, but you walk in, you're like, oh, this is cheery. It's very cheery and fun, and it's really cute. You know, we got twinkle lights up and stuff. And
right.
So we had friends over last night. And I made, I wanted to make ossobuco. Have you had ossobuco?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
What is that?
Traditionally, it's veal shanks that are, it's like an Italian pot roast made out of veal.
Right.
And ossobuco means bone in. So like it's really wrapped in a bone and then the marrow and it all kind of becomes very rich.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Fresh and Easy. Have you been there?
No, I've heard of it though.
Fresh
is
and
it
Easy.
Cool?
Yeah, well, it's not a frilly place, but they have amazing deals on just really good organic or like really good fresh food apparently and it's stuff that you gotta buy it today or it's gonna go, you know, you have to buy it today and cook it today kind of stuff. It's very inexpensive, and we Sarah goes there a lot. She's like, let's just check out and see what they have, you know. So they didn't have any veal or beef shanks, but they had this thing called round of eye roast. And I bought 3 of them, these big ass, they looked good. I thought I could probably cook it just like ossobuco, which you basically you're braising the meat over a few hours. And I get home and I look it up and I'm like, this thing is like one of the crappiest cuts of meat. And it's just takes so much work to get this thing to taste good. And so if you've never done it before, you're really risking. And it went from like, oh, ossobuco to, oh shit, I just bought the crappiest cut of like meat that's tough, that's very tough.
Wow.
And so I looked up tons.
How disappointing.
Well, I looked up tons of recipes that's how to make it really tender and juicy. And anyway, everybody liked it, but I kind of screwed it up and it was overcooked. Because you want it kind of medium rare where it's pink in the middle or like medium.
Right.
And it was all
so
like
so you cooked
brown.
It way too much trying to figure out how to cook the damn thing.
Yeah. So that was my night. But we just had a really good time.
So how many people did you have there?
I'd say about 8 of us.
8 people.
Yeah, 8 of us.
Sounds good. That's a good party.
And then I went out for date drinks.
Oh.
With a man.
You're still doing those, huh? Those dates.
This is a dude that I kind of met a little while ago who is really cool. But he's like the guy that's very, hey, gorgeous. Hi, beautiful. Hey, baby. And I was like, you need to pump them brakes.
So everybody falls all over you. What can you do?
Not everybody. Just almost. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah. All the guys you date.
No, but really, really cool guy. Anyway, so we've been kind of going out here and there. And I'm, you know, he's very emotionally available and very transparent with his feelings. And I'm not really used to that with a man.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It kind of a little bit turned me off.
I think a wall, a wall goes up for you, you know?
Yeah, because I'm
kind of... Oh, no, intimacy.
Well, I think it's more... I think it's more like I like to kind of discover somebody and I like to kind of wow them and earn that approval and affection. And when somebody's like, I think you're great. Let's hang out. This is how I feel. It's kind of a little bit like, whoa, I'm not used to it. You know, I'm not used to it.
You're not used to it, but maybe you can welcome it.
I'm trying to. So we've been going out. But like I get, it's because of this is a total different dynamic. I get really nervous because I'm not used to this. So, poor dude, we've gone out about 5 or 6 dates.
Wow.
And I haven't even kissed this guy.
Whoa.
And I feel really bad for him, but it's kind of heavy.
Has he tried? And you like?
No, I told him I'd let him know when I'm ready.
Oh,
I said,
really?
I'll make it very clear so that there's no like missing or awkwardness.
Uh-huh.
I was like, don't stress. There'll be a huge green light. And you'll get the picture.
Does he know there's not going to be any sex before marriage?
Well, do I know there's not going to be any
no,
sex before?
No, does he?
He's actually a Christian, so he has the same views. But
oh, really?
We both slipped in that area. I've slipped a bunch, you know.
Yeah.
And he has, which I don't like it, but
so no more holier than thou attitude from you.
I never had a holier than thou. I just had different beliefs.
Okay.
No, so he's actually kind of on the same page with that.
Good.
But yeah, but I know, but come on, like 6 dates in, you're not holding hands or kissing. I'm sure that stresses out.
Yeah, normally you'd call a guy like that a sucker, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A sucker?
But look, I mean,
but
he obviously likes
we're
you.
We're having a great time.
Yeah, he obviously likes you, you know? So let the physical stuff just happen, you know? Don't rush it, like
you
said.
Yeah, oh, no, I'm not. Clearly I'm not.
No,
like
clearly.
It's like 5 or 6 days.
Clearly. I would have given up a long time ago.
Yeah, but I mean, he gets it, though.
Yeah.
But still, even if you get it, you're still a man. You know what
But I mean? You have to wonder also why he's sticking around that long. Maybe he's desperate.
No, Sam.
I don't want to burst your bubble,
but we have
to look at all possibilities.
We have great conversation. Like, we'll talk for hours.
Right.
You know when you have that kind of connection?
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying
it's called friends. Yeah, it's not called romance.
I don't know.
But listen,
talk on the phone for a couple hours, and then when you hang out, you just chat, and you have good stuff to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel any attraction, though?
I do. I just feel very nervous.
Mm. Okay.
I feel very like, oh, I'm nervous.
Yeah, well, don't think about it too much. Just do it. Deal
just
with it later.
Do it.
Yeah, deal with it later.
Yeah, but poor guy. You know, taking me out, and then I'm like, okay, bye, high five, talk to you later.
You've left the whole trail behind you of broken hearts.
Yeah, right. I just think it's like, and it's not, I mean, it's not really like me either, right? I wouldn't, normally, you know, if you kiss a guy, I don't purposely wait 5 dates in to kiss a guy.
Right.
It doesn't usually happen, but I'm just a little bit more like, okay, so.
You're not so sure.
It's just there's just like I said, there's a lot of when you're used to something else and this is totally different,
right?
It kind of throws you off.
Mm.
So it's just, you know.
Yeah.
You probably can't. You won't tell me because you're not supposed
it's
to.
It's just about. Sex, though. You know
it's
what I'm saying?
Just
it's
sex.
Just sex.
It's not. That's. I don't look at sex as just anything.
Okay.
Look at it. It's amazing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I think
but it's also,
awesome.
You don't have to make a big deal out of it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I like to make a big deal out of it because I think it is
good.
A big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I bring fireworks over.
Uh-huh.
A little Barry White. You know.
Barry White.
I bring my dowry. What is it called? Dowry. I bring a dowry with me.
Dowry? Really?
I'm just playing.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of dowry you'd bring.
I know, right?
A donkey or something.
No, mine would be credit. I bring my bad credit.
Oh man, you're funny.
Like, here's what you get when you sign up with me. This is the package.
Yeah.
A lot of fun, good friends, high level of irresponsibility.
Yeah, blue balls. Make sure you're prepared for that.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting is this guy. He, his friends are like, "Who's this girl that you really like?" He goes, "You guys aren't gonna believe it."
Mm-hmm.
And they go, "What?" She's white. He normally doesn't date white girls. And
really?
She's blonde.
And he's a white guy?
He's a white guy. He normally dates black girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How interesting.
It's very interesting. So, like, it's funny to be, like, the exception to somebody's what they're used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in many ways, he's the same thing for me. There's not traditionally what I'm used to either.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So, here's a story of someone went black and he's going back.
Oh,
right.
That's a good one, Sam.
Yeah, you see.
It's the first story, huh?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think he totally loves black women. There's like a soul they
wow,
have.
Wow, that's amazing.
Physically,
yeah.
He's attracted to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find black women to be very pleasant and very friendly and very warm for most part. I mean, that's a generalization too, but it's
a good one,
you know?
Yeah, no, they've got soul. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah.
I went to a black church, predominantly black, for 3 years, mm-hmm. made some great friends. And
yeah.
Different culture, you know?
Yeah.
It's very lively. Like, I feel way more excited and at home in a black church than mm-hmm. when I go to, like, predominantly white church.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they make you feel welcome there.
Oh, my gosh. They're the greatest. It's just, there's a, like you said, warmth. And, I mean, I'm speaking from the church community as well. They're not stuffy. They let it all hang out. They really praise God. And they're very full. They're very full. And they're very celebratory, like, full of life. And
right. And
sometimes you go to white churches, and it's just stuffy, and it's not that they're not good people. It's just collectively it can be very reserved. And that's not my personality at all. So
yeah, because whites don't express their emotions as much, I think.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, and I just, I don't know. And in doing comedy, I think they're great audiences. I don't know. I'm not trying to be down with a white man because clearly I'm white. But I did a Latina show, the Ice House, mm-hmm. Latino show. And they were just freaking the best.
Yeah.
So fun. So fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's no having to work them up and get them warmed up. Some crowds you have to warm up to. They were like, hey, they're just like fun. They're ready to have a good time.
Uh-huh.
And they get it. You know, I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
Just saying.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I'm his exotic. I'm the exotic one. Which is funny because he's blonde too and white. So it's like weird that we're both.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why he's attracted to the opposite, you know?
Yeah, he's attracted to the opposite.
Yeah.
And he's like generally never dates white people, let alone blonde. Mm. But it's funny because he tends to date women that are really petite, you know, and like not at the top, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
they're usually just petite and all that stuff. So he's said that in passing about how like, just how different this is for him, and it is different for me more on an emotional level. And I thought to myself later, I was like, this is interesting because every guy that I've ever dated or been, you know, and been physical with, like, I'm like the girl they want. You know what I mean? Like, I'm their type. I'm like every, you know what I mean? There's this attraction on all levels and it's boom, 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 boom. And I'm their type. They know what they're getting into.
Right.
And this is his first rodeo. He's used to like smaller women or whatever, you know, like not boobs, little, you know, 110 pounds, whatever. And, you know, that's obviously not me. And I don't want to have to, like, educate a man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be like, oh, that's supposed to do. Like, that's supposed to be there. That's supposed to bounce like that. That's supposed to be squishy. This is normal. That you're supposed to be into
Let him figure it out by himself, you know? He doesn't need your explanation.
I'm not going to. I'm just saying as a woman, that's running through my mind. I'm like, oh, okay, well. Because I'm used to the guy being like, oh, my gosh, like a sandwich. They're like, you know, they're into it.
Yeah.
And then if this is somebody's first time, there may be some little bit of shock.
So you need to guide him.
So what we have over here in this section is this, and this is normal.
Yeah.
And then this comes
and
with
these
this.
These are boobs.
This part comes with this part. You can't have one without the other. And you just have to make exceptions and go with it. Focus on the part that you like. No, he's really cool, and that's funny. Because when you really like somebody and you really start to like them, you really, I think ideally when it's, you have a real connection with somebody, I'm not saying it's necessarily with him, but you, I know we hear love is blind, or like you start to not care about that stuff, but it becomes that you just like the person, and whatever they've got going on, you're into it because you like them.
Yeah. How unusual to like a person.
It is kind of unusual, though, you know? Like, really connect with somebody?
No, I know.
Not just attraction. I mean, like, really connect with somebody.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. And like you said, in
this
town,
was it instantaneous,
you know,
for you with your wife? Or how was it?
Yeah, it was pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, yeah, because we went on a morning date to Venice. Yeah, we went and had breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And then we just walked around, and before you knew it, we spent the whole day together, you know? So it was fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But she didn't know I was, you know, I was that interested, you know, or she just felt that it's another one of these dates, you know, he's probably not going to call. And then I called her an hour later.
Oh,
you know,
really?
So she was shocked. Yeah.
An hour later? How cute are you, Sam?
Yeah. To let her know I had fun and
all
that stuff. Yeah.
That's sweet.
No, I mean, you do these things. You know, I do what I feel.
Uh-huh.
I don't play games with people.
So you guys went on a morning date and it ended up going all day? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a great
sign. We walked
sign.
Around Venice and looked at things. And.
Aw.
Yeah.
And it was, what was
had
that?
Had beer and had coffee.
What was
and,
the first kind of feeling like? What was that? What was going through your mind? Like when you were connecting with, like meeting her and stuff? Were you
I
like,
thought,
oh my
wow,
gosh.
Wow, I'm having fun. Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah, I'm having fun.
See, your wife seems like somebody that is fun.
Yeah.
She seems like
she likes to do things, you know.
Yeah, she's very active.
As opposed to me, I'm very earthy, you know. I'm stuck on the ground, and she needs to be moving all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes it creates problems because I don't move as fast as she is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that can create problems, but we managed, you know, we figured out each other.
Uh huh.
And what each other likes and
yeah.
what we don't. And it works out very well, you know.
And you were saying, I remember this because I was thinking about this, how you were talking, because I was saying how, like, I could see a guy maybe once a week and mm-hmm. I can go a while without seeing him. You're like, no, Kara, that's not real. Like,
yeah.
when I met my wife, we...
Yeah, we had to see each other all the time.
Really?
Yeah, and we did. I mean, she was living in Brentwood. I was living in Northridge. That was some drive to
uh-huh.
make every day.
Really?
Yeah.
So right after the first date, you called her an hour later, said you had a great time. When did you see her next?
Yeah. Probably the following day.
Really?
Yeah. Or 2 days later. Yeah, I think it was the following day, yeah. It's funny to talk about this, you know, because after 7 years...
You forget, yeah.
You forget this romance and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you still like... It's love, but it's in a different way,
yeah,
you know?
It's deeper. It's
yeah. You know, it's not like the butterflies and,
yeah.
you know, and all that. So it's different, but... Yeah, I remember that. You know, I remember that. It was fun.
Because this guy wants to, like, pretty much see each other every day. And that's kind of freaked me out a bit.
Yeah,
but I'm starting
obviously.
To, like, want to see him.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get caught up in that kind of stuff. I want to, like, do my thing. And
mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because he's, you know, hey, what are you doing? Let's do this. Or da, da, da. And I was thinking about you and... Dina and how mm-hmm. you told me that was going on and I'm like, oh damn, what are we doing?
You're not into that, huh?
I don't know what I'm into. That's the thing. I don't know what I'm into.
Yeah.
But I've always think that you should space it out a bit so you don't like, you have somewhere to go with it in a like a slow getting to know process versus.
Yeah. Plus you have to agree or decide that you're gonna go as far as this relationship's going to go. Because if you're going to stop it in the middle, then you don't want to commit to that kind of a thing. Because obviously, if you start seeing each other every day, it's going to be like a...
relationship.
A relationship. Right.
You're right. I got to think about that.
And maybe you're not ready for that, you know? Well,
yeah.
Not maybe for sure. Based on what I'm seeing here, you're not ready for one yet.
I just don't really want to be anyone's girlfriend. It's
right.
not that I don't want a relationship. It's like... I don't want to go out and this guy have any kind of ownership over me. Or
but it's not why. But why do you look at it as ownership?
It's just that feeling of I'm with him and now we're together and we're a unit versus
right.
me as myself.
Right.
You know
well,
what I mean?
Yeah. So you're afraid to be swallowed, I think, by someone else. You
yeah.
know?
And he's not like suffocating. It's just one of these
yeah.
things where I'm like, you know, I don't know. I'm like a loose cannon and I like to meet
yeah,
people and I
yeah.
like to be free and.
Yeah, I mean, you're at a point in your life where maybe you're not ready to settle down yet, you know. What occurred to me is after I went to San Diego by myself for a couple of days to relax and stuff, I realized that, you know, I used to be on, I mean, I was on my own since I was 16.
Mm.
And I always liked my privacy and my, you know, and my freedom and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff. But I really realized now that I need to be with someone.
Oh, yeah.
I really need to be with someone.
Like,
you know?
It's healthy for
otherwise,
you.
Otherwise, I feel very lonely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think when you're single, you have to have a good network of friends. And
well, I have that.
Like
that's
that,
the thing
know?
Is, I mean, I just have so much
yeah,
love.
Yeah, you do
have
that.
I have great
yeah.
friends and I have a, you know, and there's it's a revolving door. Like sometimes people are in there for a while and they go, there's, you know, they do their thing. And, you know, LA's transient. So there's a lot of that. But there's always new friends and not just newness, but there's like really great people in my life.
Yeah.
So I have that.
Yeah.
I have that support.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why you don't have the pressure.
Yeah.
But
did you not have like a real group of strong friends or guy friends?
No, I did when I was young, you
uh-huh.
know, but then later on in life, I mean, I'm very picky about people too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because when I'm a friend, I'm like a brother to you. I'll do
uh-huh.
anything for you.
Yeah.
And then I expect the same in return and it doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Hard.
And I find people that are too preoccupied with themselves or just are not giving. And You know?
Well, that's very true.
Because in this world, there's people that are givers and people that are takers, you know? And takers are not necessarily bad people. It's just that you have to find some kind of a balance, you know, and be able to share and give as well, you know. And if you can't, if someone gives all the time and doesn't get anything in return, they get tired of it after a while.
Yeah. It was one-sided. It's really great because my new roommate, Kate, and then we've got Sarah living there. They're both really great givers. And then I'm like the biggest taker in the world. So it's awesome for me. I'm really, basically, all I'm doing is I'm raking in the dough.
Gimme.
No, I'm a giver. I'm not a taker. But we just have a really great community in our apartment right now because all three are pretty, we're all pretty much givers on some level. Like, it's funny. So we had our get-together last night, and the guys, a few people left, and then some of the guys left because they had other stuff to do. So it ended up just being all girls for the end of the end of the night, you know, when you're sitting around chatting. It turned into the biggest estrogen fest. Oh, my gosh. And we're sitting there, and we're talking about hair product. And I found out that olive oil, and if you guys are listening, is one of the most just greatest things for your skin and your hair.
Right.
So if you have...
And you came in sporting one the other day.
Yeah, I did. I had my hat on. Yeah. But if you put olive oil in your hair and let it sit, maybe put a hot towel on it, leave it in for a day or a few hours and wash it out, you'll actually feel your hair get stronger and just shinier, you know? And then I started learning about your scalp and having a healthy scalp. And, you know, and so we're like talking about how we use olive oil on our skin and on our hair, and then they're like, really? This is and I brought up the scalp treatment that I just got, and they're smelling it, and we put it on someone's hair, and then I talked about this new hair color we got.
Oh, God.
So basically, we're just, you know, going to town, and then we have sex talk.
Sounds like little girls playing,
Little girls playing.
Playing around with their dolls. And
yeah, but it's funny because we're like just going to town, biggest estrogen fest, and then the guy that I'm seeing or, you know, hanging out with or whatever you want to call it, he showed up because he couldn't come till later. And at this point, all the guys had left. And so he walks in, and it's like a harem of women having, you know, vagina conversations and scalp treatments.
Vagina
and,
dialogues.
Yeah. Not really. I'm just playing. But stuff like that. So we were having this conversation. He's in there, and he just loved it. It was funny. I'm like, you know, just so different.
So you guys were talking about sex for a while before you showed up.
Well, one of my friends and my neighbor, she works down in Skid Row, and she works at a needle clinic, I guess, and they basically help the homeless wherever the she said basically we're a no harm kind of philosophy, so we meet people where they are. So they'll give them clothes, baths. We'll get them, if they want to detox, we'll help them get into a detox program. They basically service the homeless wherever their needs are, and just wherever they're, where, you know, they don't force me to do anything, but they exchange needles too. They do all the stuff for them. And so she does a lot of HIV counseling and STD counseling and things like that. So she was explaining stuff about HIV and stuff about STDs, and we're all sitting there like shaking. We're like, I'm never having sex again. And she's telling you stuff that you never think about and you don't realize.
Right.
But if a guy or a girl has a cold sore, which is the herpes virus 1, you know, just like kind of dormant in people's bodies. So a cold sore. If they give you oral sex, you can
get it.
You can get it on your down there, and it turns into that herpes 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that doesn't ever go away.
Really? It always stays there?
Well, you don't always have outbreaks, but it's always there.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's scary. Yeah.
And she was also explaining to us about HIV's transmitted in 5 different ways. And the biggest thing is they say blood, because if you cut yourself, what happens is, you know, your white blood cells go to repair the area. And the HIV virus is attracted to white blood cells. So anytime you cut, then all the white blood cells rush there, and it's the white blood cells that are connected. They connect and bond with the virus. So if you're even just kissing or something, make sure your teeth aren't you didn't floss your teeth. You can't have any cuts in your mouth, or that person can't. You know what I mean? It's like there's all these things you don't think about, and you're like, what?
But how often does that happen? I mean, you know, because people do have that kind of contact all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's good to know.
I haven't heard of outbreaks, you know.
Well, it's good to know your partner, clearly. And one of the girls was like, that's why I'm married. I don't have to think about this shit. But even she was scared.
Yeah.
She was like, She was like, you can be a carrier or something and not have it.
Yeah.
All this weird stuff. So we were talking about that. And then also one of the girls, she's a new friend and she doesn't really get it. She's very much a monogamous relationship girl. Mm-hmm. And now she's trying to get crazy. She wants to kind of take a lover is what she said.
Really?
She's like, I want to take a lover.
Uh-huh.
And, now she's
why can't she just break up and
no,
find
she's,
another
no,
guy?
No, she's seeing a guy that she wants to just have that physical relationship with. She okay. thinks, she doesn't know. She's like, I think I want to do this. And then after this conversation, we're talking about all this stuff. She's like, it's not happening. It's not happening. But she was asking this question. She said, do you, when you give oral sex on a man,
uh-huh.
and you don't really, are you supposed to use a condom?
No.
Well, that's, of course, a guy would say no. But it just occurred to me, like, if you don't know the guy very well or whatever, are you supposed to use...
Yeah.
A condom and then do it? Like, what's the point?
So he doesn't come on you, I guess.
No, it's for STD purposes.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know,
yeah,
if there's bodily fluids.
Or any fluid, yeah, down
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Wow.
But not just putting it in your mouth. I don't think that would be, you know.
I mean, I just think it's...
I don't know. What do I know about that?
I don't
that?
Know either.
I don't
but
use condoms.
Either way, I don't think she's taking a lover is what I'm saying. We're all sitting there with our wine glasses and we're like, never having sex again. It's going to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Like, I am just going to...
Why would you want to hear about that shit?
And I was thinking, I was doing the dishes and I was thinking about a new joke, but it's kind of true. Because we went to Pinkberry the other day.
Okay.
Pinkberry yogurt.
The yogurt place.
And I'm just not really that into it. I mean, I've gotten into it, but I'm not that into it. And it's like,
right.
I think like this, you know, Pinkberry frozen yogurt, it's like masturbation, okay?
Okay.
It'll get you... Pinkberry frozen yogurt, it's like masturbation. It will get you through,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the real thing.
So what's the real thing? Ice cream?
Yeah, you want the real thing. Ice cream with hot fudge
okay.
on it and tons of toppings.
Uh-huh.
You don't want tart-flavored yogurt with berries.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work.
Yeah.
It can kind of cut the craving, but it's not quite going to do the job.
That's interesting.
You know?
Yeah, I never thought of it that
calling
way.
Masturbation.
Okay.
Like, you're not going to be excited.
That's what I'll think every time I go to Pinkberry's now.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm going to masturbate.
Yeah, you're just, it's a substitute. Yeah. I guess it's safe, you know, like it's a safe form.
Have you tried Menchie's?
I love Menchie's.
Yeah.
Tell everybody
See, that's
what
a yogurt place, too.
Tell everybody what Menchie's is.
It's a yogurt place.
Yeah, but what makes it so cool?
The different flavors of the yogurt.
But it's the way you walk in. It's in a horseshoe.
Right.
And you just grab next to every little spout is like unlimited access to little cups.
Right.
So typically what you could do is go in and taste everything.
And then leave?
And just leave. And I've done
really?
It.
Really? Why am I not surprised?
Well, when I did it's funny. Speaking of the marathon, when I did the marathon last year, it was a total wreck because I didn't know. I just jumped in, figured I'll run this until it's hard, and then I'll catch a ride home.
Right.
Well, I ended up running all the way to Santa Monica, okay? Right. And now I didn't have a ride back to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
My feet were killing me. My ankles hurt. Everything hurt. And I
right.
didn't have any money on me. And
right.
I was very, very...
I remember the story, but I don't remember how it
I started
happened.
To get hungry. I didn't have any money. And I was like, I just was like, I can't believe I just did this to myself. I just ran. And now I have to walk very far, and my feet are killing me.
Yeah.
So I'm walking, and I see like a Menchie's. And I walk in. Actually, it wasn't Menchie's, but they gave me like three different little just sample cups. I only had three.
Right.
So I went to a couple of the dispensers, and I just and piled my three sample cups so tall.
Uh-huh.
So, and then I reused
and nobody
them.
Nobody said anything.
And I reused a few of them. And then I walked out. I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm in the mood for...
Kiara, that's
yoga.
Shit that kids do, okay? You
well,
gotta stop that.
I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm in the mood for your yogurt. I'm like walking out with like five different cups in my hand. I'm like, bye.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway. But I didn't have any money and I was like hungry. I mean, I was hungry. I just ran freaking a lot and I was stupid for not bringing any money with me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I guess, yeah, you got creative. That's pretty good. Yeah, but you take chances, you know? I mean, I would never go anywhere without a ride or money or something, you know?
You know, it is a chance. I'm not saying that it always works out, but at least I guess I have an adventure to tell.
Yeah, exactly.
The Adventures of Kara Kimbrough.
Yeah.
Living
Some
by...
adventure, that is.
Oh, man. Isn't that funny?
So did you end up walking all the way back to Hollywood?
I walked from the Santa Monica Pier to the 405.
You
know
wow, yeah.
So you know where that is, right?
Right. And then,
my friend picked me up there.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty far, too. That's far to walk.
Yeah, that's about 6 miles.
Is it?
And after you already ran. Mm. And my ankles were hurting.
Yeah.
I felt homeless. I felt like a homeless person.
Yeah.
You know. So,
Yeah. So, you know, I just remembered when I was in San Diego, I went to have lunch somewhere, you know, by the water and stuff. I had some fish and chips and stuff. And it was kind of chilly, so I had my jacket on the back of my seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I left and stuff, I'm like going, and then suddenly I'm looking, and a whole fucking load of bird shit on my coat. You know? And I was like so grossed out. That, you know, then in the hotel, I went and cleaned it up and I almost threw up, you know?
Are you serious?
It was like load. I mean, this is like seagulls, you know? You're not talking just about small birds. And I just thought, what if it ends up on your head, you know? You know how embarrassing and gross that is?
Oh, listen, you know what? Birds got a shit. I don't blame them for doing it. We all need to drop it like it's hot, but there is something just not right about bird shit.
No, it's nasty.
It's white and chunky.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting.
Every shit is gross.
It's all disgusting, but there's just something really wrong about it.
Yeah.
It's just not right. It's like, what are these birds eating? And, you know, they should just coordinate.
I don't know, but yeah, they shit while they fly, you know, so anybody's
game.
It's
a multitasker right there.
Yeah.
No, don't worry. Just take flight. Just let it go.
Yeah. Everybody's game.
Yeah, it does. You do feel violated. Because I was on a walk one day, and I don't know if it was a bird or if it was some kind of, like, thing of a tree that was maybe old, but, like, this kind of soggy, crunchy, white, kind of brown thing hit me in my hair.
Wow.
And it was, like, little.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what the fudge was that? What the F was that? And I was like, oh my god, I'm like trying to get this thing out of my hair. It's not a lot, but I looked at it and I was like, I think that's some form of shit from some like some animal that I'm gonna, or some kind of bird. I don't know what's going on. And thank god I was just on a walk, but I just felt so disgusting. I felt like I was like radiating toxicity or something.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
You go home, you wash it out, but I just remember thinking like, this is, how could you? I feel so violated.
Yeah,
like I didn't even see it coming. It was like right on my hair, right by my forehead.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. They say that it's good luck to have a bird shit on you.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
Great. Really?
Yeah, but I figured they say this to people so you'll feel better, you know? So you don't feel so bad about being shit on.
Oh, man.
I don't see that it brings you any good luck.
It's really funny, though. Man.
Yeah. So check this out. This woman, I guess, answered an ad on Craigslist.
Uh-oh.
She's from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And Wisconsin, already scary.
And the ad was from New York. And this guy was looking like for a place to stay in New York. She wanted to move.
Okay.
So she agreed. So this guy was offering like a room, and they agreed that if she cooks and cleans for him, then she can stay there. So apparently the day she got there, he already sexually attacked her, and she ended up like a sex slave for him. And this just happened, you know, in February. So they're saying between February 4th and 12th. And she was also tied with a rope, gagged, and handcuffed to a radiator.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How did she get away?
Well, the way she got away is I guess she had a chance to call her mom. I don't know how. And so, you know, she managed to call her mom and alert her. So I guess the police found her there. And she was shaking and... Wow, marks on her body. So, you know, my question is, how do you do this? I mean, how do you move in with a guy that you don't know? You know, roommate or you know, whatever. You pay money, you don't pay money, it doesn't matter. The thing is, I don't think it's very healthy for a woman to move in with a guy.
I would agree, yeah. It's weird because, you know, being from Texas and moving out to L.A. and the next thing you know, I mean, even if you move out with people here, you need roommates. You always need a roommate. Somebody's leaving, somebody's moving.
Right.
It's so transient that you're used to saying yes to quick things. And
right.
You're used to, okay, do you have rent? Do you have deposit? Perfect. I'll figure out if you're a serial killer later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, great. Can you get...
Well, obviously, that's wrong thinking.
No, I'm not saying it's right. I just think that you become, you know, everybody's looking for, you know, basic survival a lot of times.
Right.
So you just kind of go with it. And it's obviously dangerous, and I think we forget the danger. But I don't like living with a guy. I mean, I don't want to... I mean, I think guys are probably a little low maintenance in some ways, but I wouldn't live with a guy I didn't know.
Yeah. That's pretty scary shit.
I wouldn't live with a guy I didn't know. I've had one guy roommate, and he was pretty easy breezy.
Yeah.
But I knew him.
Yeah, but you're not sex slave material at all.
Me?
Yeah.
Why not, Sam? Why can't I be a sex?
You'd fight, because you'd fight the shit out of him.
I just piss him off. I just piss him off a lot. But you know, the thing is I'm not. I know I'm not invincible, because sometimes I have an attitude. I'm like, Kara, you could totally be killed. I'm like, you're right. But they, you know, they do shit where they drug you up and stuff. You can't fight back.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter how strong you are.
Got to be very careful.
Yeah.
But yeah, you stick with the female roommates and you'll be just fine.
Yeah. Well, Sarah and I were watching a scene in a movie where this guy was trying to intimidate a woman he was going to basically kill her and like rape her and kill her type stuff. And Sarah goes, you see that? You see how her head's down? And she's getting scared. Nope. This is what you do, Kara. You look up. You're like, okay, party's over. Let's go. Gotta nap. Gotta go. Party's over.
Yeah.
And be really obnoxious, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't like gross stuff. So if you're gross, like if you can just crap on command.
Yeah. Turn them off.
Pick your nose.
Sounds good to me.
Fling it at them.
All right.
See what I'm saying?
Okay. I think we've
it
had
works,
enough of
though.
This. We get the idea, Kara.
Projectile vomit. Whatever you have to do turns them off. Okay, on that note.
Yeah, on that note, we're going to go home. Everybody, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.